Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and welcome to Hercules and the Space Gods. I am Hercules Invictus. Hercules and the Space Gods is a voyage of discovery that is currently unfolding through our podcasts on Mount Olympus and CERN, select chapters in Tim Beckley's paranormal anthologies, a variety of live and now Zoom events, and several articles published in various magazines over the past few years. Hercules and the Space Gods, like many of our initiatives, supports all of humanity's efforts to transcend this world and venture forth into the great beyond, be they metaphysical, mechanical, or even imaginal. Tonight, I'm proud to bring you Nick Curto presents the Disclosure Network, and his guest is Carol Linda Gonzalez. Greetings and welcome, Nick. How are you?
Oh, very good, Hercules. And yourself?
I'm doing great. I'm excited that you're doing a tribute to Tim Beckley. He'll be greatly missed.
Boy, that's an understatement. And what an amazing, amazing person that he was all through his life. There's so much to discuss about him. And Carol knew him on a very personal level. And also, Hercules, if there's anything that you want to add during the program, please chime in.
Okay, thank you so very much. I have a long history with Tim. I never got to see him until the John Keel days in New York, but we've interacted many times during the course of this lifetime. So, yes, I will jump in. Thank you very much.
I think it's wonderful that you knew him like you did. That's terrific. And, of course, Carol, my guest tonight, also has a very, very wonderful, wonderful stories about her perceptions knowing him also. So it's going to be a very wonderful remembrance of we call him Mr. UFO. So
UFO,
it's going
yeah.
to be quite a program. We missed him so much. He passed on, I believe, last month or so.
Yeah, I think it was May 31st.
Oh, really? Okay, thank you, Carol. Okay, so Hercules, with your permission, we're going to go ahead with the show, okay?
Onwards, yes, I'm looking forward to it.
Okay, here we go. The program is Nick Curto Presents the Disclosure Network, and I'm Nick Curto, co-founder and director of Disclosure Network New York, and your host for this live podcast. DNNY is a grassroots organization now celebrating our 20th year of providing two meetings a month throughout the year in Manhattan. We focus on cutting-edge UFO ET issues, paranormal phenomena, as well as many important and related subjects from a wide variety of areas and sources as we go deep into these exciting and sometimes misunderstood subjects that the mainstream press will not talk about or ever, ever discuss. Our members do intensive investigative research into these various cutting areas and topics, and share that information with our group at our meetings, as well as with our internet followers on YouTube. We are now currently doing Zoom meetings twice a month until COVID-19 is gone and our venue where we hold the meetings in the West Village in New York City reopens. Our Zoom meetings for our members are held on the first and third Wednesday nights at 7 p.m. of each month, and that's throughout the entire year. If you would like some details about becoming a member of Disclosure Network New York, you may do that by emailing me and letting me know that, and I'll provide you with the details. My email address is nicknyny1@gmail.com. I'm going to repeat that, nicknyny1@gmail.com. And the one is the numeral one. It's not O-N-E. It's the numeral one, just so you have it. Our motto from day one is, quote, connecting the dots to seek truth, unquote. We have available to our DNNY members worldwide the DNNY News Blast email service, focusing on important topics of special interest. Also, you may visit our website, I'm going to give you that, www.dnny.info. I'm going to repeat that, DNNY.info. ny.info. By becoming a member, you will be connected to all of our members, and we have them from all over the planet as right now, which is so wonderful. And you'll also be receiving our meeting announcements, if we're going to have a speaker, who that is, and what they're going to talk about, and cutting-edge news, as well as special invitations and events. And that goes on throughout the year. Okay, that said, our featured guest for this live podcast tonight is my dear friend, certainly, and colleague, a longtime member of DNNY, and that's Carol Linda Gonzalez. Carol, what a wonderful pleasure to have you here. Welcome to you.
Thank you, Nick.
Great
I'm
to
really
have you.
Thanking you for giving me the opportunity to talk about Tim tonight.
Oh, I'm very excited about this, for sure. I want to start the program by providing a very, very brief background so that about you and about tonight's very, very special program. A UFO sighting over Brooklyn in the 1970s brought a glimpse of another reality to tonight's featured guest, Carol Lynn Gonzalez, and started a search for other members with similar experiences. That's how Carol met Tim Green Beckley. He was a world-famous UFO and paranormal researcher, writer, and publisher, as well as a podcast host. Tim, a.k.a. Mr. UFO, I love that, had been involved in investigating UFOs since the age of 14. He published a magazine titled UFO Universe and was a publisher and author of more than 200 books. That is absolutely amazing. Tim held open gatherings in the 1970s for people interested in UFOs and other paranormal topics. Now, that's how Carol met Timothy, and we had the ability to, and he had the ability to attract amazing people to him and offering their ideas to others by hosting conferences and other important events. Tim hosted his own podcast with Tim Schwartz on KCOR, featuring interviews and information from some of the very top names in the field. And his last podcast was titled, so interesting, the title, quote, Ike and the Aliens, Peace Treaty Gone Bad, ?" And that aired very recently on April 13th, 2021. Carol, how wonderful that you knew Tim. We have a great deal to talk about tonight. I would like to start off, though, right from the very, very beginning. So if I may ask you first, where were you born, and where do you make your home right now?
I was born in Manhattan, and I still live in Manhattan. I did spend some time in Brooklyn, though, Bensonhurst, but I'm still now living in Chelsea.
Right. Okay. Very, very good. And were you brought up with a big family, with brothers and sisters?
No, I had one sister. That was it.
What? Okay. And just quickly, what was your mom and dad like?
Well, my father came from a family of Freemasons. So he was very interested in this type of topic, and that's where I got my interest from. My mother was a very spiritual person. And she was introduced me. I was actually a church-going person for the first 20 years of my life. And my sister also was very spiritual and introduced me to the writings of Edgar Casey.
Excellent. Excellent. I can see that's a very fertile background indeed. Now, briefly, if you will, tell us about where you went to school and what did you study, if you may.
Oh, well, I went to CCNY undergrad. I was a history major. I had some grad work in economics at NYU, and I got a paralegal certificate, and I work in the law right now.
Excellent. Okay. So right now you have an occupation full-time in the law. Is that correct?
Yes. I'm a corporate paralegal.
Very good. Now, let's get right to it. I'm so excited that you're here and talking about Tim. So please tell us more details about your very long friendship with Timothy Green of Beckley. Please go ahead.
Yes, well, I want to thank you again for letting me talk on this venue about Tim. My interest in the topics that Tim wrote about continues, even though he's passed on. I also try to keep up with the work of new people like, well, they're not new, but researchers like Richard Dolan and Daniel List and others. In those circles, I've come across some of the younger generation today who are very dismissive of the work that Tim did. Tim is an ancient, he's ancient, one young person told me, and implying that he was just not worth looking at all. Yeah, because you could say his sensational titles and colorful book covers give the impression he was someone not to take seriously. But actually, he wrote on a vast majority of topics. He was part of the New York City underground music world of the 1970s. He was a reviewer for Hustler magazine. He published books, all sorts of books on strange creatures, weird phenomena, flying saucers, and with colorfully beautiful book covers. But today he's mostly known as a UFO investigator. You have to remember that when he started back in the 60s and 70s, there was very little, if nothing at all, on the subject of UFOs. People were seeing things in the sky for sure, like they do today, but it was really hard to get any information about them. When someone wants to learn something on a topic, you start researching or asking others what they think about it. People would laugh at you and think you're crazy. Something has to be wrong with you, you know, if you're interested in flying saucers. I was a teenager, so I guess being a teenager, it was okay. Nobody really took you seriously anyway. But when something like that happens and there are older people who are seeing it and they're wondering what's going on, here comes Tim to fill the gap. He attracted, as you said, and gathered many people who were interested on the topic and hosted conferences where people could gather and find out more information, and even meet serious people who were working seriously on these topics, like John Mack or Bud Hopkins. Now, if you look at Tim's Commander X books, he authored and wrote a few with him. It was a funny kind of name, Commander X, for someone who purported to have worked for a secret government agency or something like that, so he could tell the secrets he knows. Commander X was supposed to be an alias for an unknown UFO researcher or informant. Sounds really hokey, don't you think? Well, look at it a different way. Back in 2019, I attended the International UFO Conference in Phoenix, where I heard Kevin Day, a retired 21-year Navy vet, who talked about witnessing the Nimitz Tic Tac UFO encounter that we've been hearing about in the news. I mean, it's been on ABC News, 60 Minutes, carried something like this. This is not, it's not phony. But this happened back in 2004. And the man saw this. It upset him. He didn't know who to talk to. Nobody believed him. So how did he get his expression out? He wrote a book. It's a fictionalized account of what he saw. It's called Sailor's Anthology. And it happened, you'd think by 2019 he would have gotten over it, but this is the kind of encounter that you never quite get over. I mean, I never got my sighting. It didn't affect me that way, but it certainly wasn't as dramatic as anything this man saw. Also, at the same conference, Calvin Parker of the Pascagoula encounter, which I'm not going to get into, he talked about having had a nervous breakdown and years of therapy after his encounter. So you can see, you know, it makes sense. Tim's Commander X books and Commander X himself makes sense. It's a way to express something that you can't talk about with just anybody. there's another interesting thing about Tim that most people don't know, although he has mentioned it on some of his podcasts. There are so many, I'm sure he did. He also worked for the National Enquirer. He was a writer for the National Enquirer. So what do you think about that, you know? Nonsense. He's
yeah,
a nonsense
you know,
concept.
I'm not surprised, and he had such an imagination, and he really made you so excited about the subject matter that I can see that he could write for the Enquirer, or he could do amazing research on the topic. I can certainly understand that.
Yeah, well, here's more about the Enquirer that most people don't know. They think of sensational stories, outrageous headlines. That's been the stock in trade for years of this newspaper. Flying saucer sightings, okay. Weird headline, Rita Hayworth back from the dead. Or women aren't human, and I'll prove it. I mean, so many odd titles that you can look up. And it was full of all kinds of oddities, gore, and celebrity gossip. So it became a big hit. It became mainstream entertainment for people. Now, Chin said that the founder of the Enquirer, his name was Generoso Pope. I may not have pronounced that properly. He had worked for the CIA. And after he left the CIA, he bought the Enquirer for $75,000. And he kept his contact with the CIA. They directed him to put certain stories in certain ways. So true stories would be sandwiched in between phony ones that gave the impression that the true ones were false and should not be taken seriously. Getting more interesting?
You bet.
Well, in November 2019, the heir to the National Enquirer fortune, Paul Pope, gave the Daily Mail an exclusive story on his family history. He said it was like The Godfather meets Citizen Kane. In it, he mentions his father had been working for the CIA, and he bought the Enquirer after he left his PSYOP job with the CIA. That confirms what Tim said. So, you know, Tim knew just about everybody in the UFO world from the 50s on. So it was just wonderful to have known him and to have been able to participate. It's funny, you know, after my sighting, which was quite a while, like a decade went by, I kind of forgot I had it. I remember when I reconnected with Tim, he said, well, a lot of people do forget. And then it comes back. So he remembered me from having gone to his conferences. I went to one in Florida where I met this man kind of disappeared. I can't think of his name, but he had this really interesting book with interesting photos in Pascagoula, Florida. Those photos were really, I think they were real. And in that area, it's near a military base in Florida. And there, is it Pascagoula? I may be wrong about exactly where it is, but it's near a military base. And there were many other people who had the same sightings, and it was reported in the papers there. So we got to hear him. We also got to hear this man called Howard Menger, who had claimed he had UFOs land in his backyard back in, I guess, in the 50s. I also got to meet John Keel of Mothman fame. He was quite a character. He was very interesting. He experienced many oddities in his own life. Bud Hopkins, I've mentioned before, John Mack or others. Also, writer Antonio Huneyes, who spoke at many of his events. He was from South America, and he really had a connection with what sightings were like in South America. I don't know if you read Jacques Vallée's book. It's called Connections, Confrontations, I think. And the nature of the UFO sightings there are somewhat different than in North America. There's some rather negative kind of experiences. So we got to hear
Carol,
a lot
you
of
say
that.
Carol, I got to just interrupt this. When you say that, do you mean they were abduction experiences? Is that where you're going with that?
Well, we have abduction experiences in North America too, but I recall, now I'm just speaking off the top of my head because I didn't review the book to talk about it, that Jacques Vallée mentioned there were actual towns in South America where UFOs or sightings had come down and burned people. People were killed or had radiation sickness. Nothing like Travis Walton. they just seemed very, very odd.
Yeah, I guess so.
Someday
wow.
I'll have to reread that book. I know that Jacques Vallée has changed his view on what this experience is, and he thinks it's more of a psychological thing. I don't know about that, but we had in Arizona. He had a conference where he had as a speaker John Frank Strange, who wrote Stranger in the Pentagon about Valiant Thor.
Oh, yeah.
So
of
I got
course.
To meet
wow.
him, and not Valiant Thor, the author. And
got the author, right.
At that conference, it was so crowded that we had black helicopters flying around the hotel where it took place. Bob Lazar dropped in. Tim said he didn't remember that, but I said, you weren't in the room. He dropped in. Somebody made an announcement of who he was. If you saw that, I once brought to a meeting his poster with the UFO he claimed to have worked on. He dropped in for a time and then he left. He didn't stay because he actually wasn't a speaker, but I remember that he dropped in. It was quite an interesting crowd out in the desert.
Wow. You know, I envy the fact that you were there at the time and you saw these people and met them and had connections with them. I admire that, and I only wish that at the time I was part of that. I wasn't. And I'm still kind of catching up, certainly with you also. I'm catching up because you're sharing your personal views and experiences about that time, which was so exciting for ufology.
Yeah, there was so many interesting things going on. There was a woman at one of the conferences. I'm not sure if this was Tim Beckley's conference. There was another man who was a publisher of Scientific American, I think it was. We used to hold conferences in Connecticut, North Bridgeport, Connecticut, I think it was. And there was a writer there. Her name was, I shouldn't give out names when I don't remember them, but her name was Carol Christ. I'd have to look it up. But she wrote some books based on her experience. She used to go upstate and used to go to trespass in certain areas and write about things that she had seen. She was sort of paranoid because she kept thinking someone was going to come and arrest her. But that was a very interesting person. Her book is sort of well known. I lost it, and then I got it again in paperback form, but the photos were not as clear as they were in her hardback book. She has since passed away. Tim, of course, knew Betty and Barney Hill. Well, Betty Hill. Kathleen Marston, so you have a connection there. And, of course, you know Peter Robbins, who knows everybody well. So I was just a fan. Peter was a writer who got involved with these people, so I just got a chance to chat with Tim, and I run into him in the street every once in a while because he didn't live far from where I live. If I had a question, I would go to Tim, and I'd ask him, and he'd know the answer. That's the way Tim was.
Carol, I want to ask you now.
Yep. Sure.
Right. Just before we go there, I just want to just double back a little bit because I would like to ask you, what was his persona? What was he like? Was he very businesslike? Was he a kind of a flamboyant fellow? Did he have a sense of humor? How did he look? Can you give us a little bit of a description of him?
Well, he looked like he had a blonde curly hair. And he was part of the New York City, I was going to go into this, the New York City Music Underground. So think of him as an eccentric music figure from the 1960s or 70s. I mean,
okay.
Wally Amlock, who was one of the people that I met through him, I didn't really know her well. I was a teenager, and she claimed to be a witch. And she was just so beautiful and glamorous and just everything that a young woman would love to be. So, of course, you know, I went to hear her speak. She was an herbalist. She knew all about magic. And she worked with David Bowie. Now, at the time I met her, I was just thinking of her in terms of Wicca. She was a Wicca practitioner, the first person I ever met that was into that. She was knowledgeable on all sorts of spiritual subjects. That was my interest in her. And, of course, Tim's UFOs, because he called it the Occult School of Arts, I think it was, and it covered a variety of topics. What I didn't know, he asked me to write a chapter, a few paragraphs about her in a book he published called David Bowie, UFOs, Witchcraft, Cocaine, and Paranoia. I had no idea. I'm in this book with all these wild people. I had no idea at the time that she was the psychic for David Bowie. She had worked with Jimi Hendrix. Freddie Prinze, the actor, was her boyfriend at the time. She was all over the place and in the music world of rock and roll. So who knew? So Tim had this other side of him. So he was a character, you could say. He also was a reviewer for Hustler magazine. That's a porn magazine. So he kind of did everything.
He certainly did. Wow. That's quite something.
He also made lots of movies, too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He was on TV as well, on all those UFO programs recently in the Travel Channel, is it, or History? Yeah, just recently I got a flyer from him. He was selling more books, so his passing was certainly a shock to me because he wasn't that.
As long as we're talking about books, Hercules, did you say that you had published? Tell us about that.
Oh, yes. Tim was my entry into being published. I've been published before in magazines and smaller, type of things, but I submitted a chapter to one of Tim's anthologies, and I got into the book, and then I wrote like 15 or 16 other chapters that wound up in books.
Wow.
In my library of books that I'm in, they're a part of the Tim Beckley Library, and that was like a dream come true for me because I grew up reading Tim's books and Brad Steiger, who Tim knew, of course, very well.
Yeah.
And I met Tim during the John Keel days in, I guess it's early 90s when John Keel used to have the Fortean Society, and then afterwards everybody would go out to eat and discuss, esoteric topics. Antonio Huneas, who you mentioned, was there. Stanton Friedman used to come all the time, plus a lot of other people that I'll need some time to remember. I had actually met him then. I had a funny story about Tim that I shared with him. When I was in my teens, I used to order books from Tim. And one day, I went to family on a family visit. And I hated those as a teenager. But when they said we're going to New Brunswick, I got very excited because that's where Inner Life Global Publications was. So I remember looking throughout New Brunswick trying to find Tim Beckley and his publishing company. Never did, but I did that as a teen. So I was very delighted when I connected with Tim a few times. I used to review his vampire movies. He made a few like horror movies as Mr. Creepo. And then I started reviewing some of his books. He was a guest on the show several times. Tim Schwartz has been a guest on the show several times. A couple of times we had authors from these books that I was in on the show. So I was very shocked when I heard that Tim died, because he's a larger than life legendary figure, and you always think these people are going to be here forever.
Yeah. Did you know Carol Rodriguez by any chance?
You're Carol Rodriguez, right?
No. Carol Rodriguez was an artist that Tim worked with. I met her a long time ago. I'm Carol Linda Gonzalez.
Okay. Oh, okay. Yeah, I went back to the things. Did I type that wrong? No, I typed it correctly. I said it wrong. I might have. I'm in my 60s, and my memory is not serving me as well as it once did. But I met lots and lots of people when I used to go to the Fortean Society. So it's a possibility that I met her. And plus, I go to a lot of events and now Zoom things. So I've crossed paths with a lot of people. When were you part of when did you go to John Keel's? I might have even bumped into you. We might have talked.
It's very possible. I did not go to the Fortean Society, although I knew about it. I was really quite straight-laced, even though I was interested in Wally when I was 17 and 18. I was really a churchgoer, quite straight-laced. I was interested in these topics, but I wasn't really involved. It wasn't until the 1980s, the late 80s and early 90s, that I started to go back to Tim's conferences, because he gave conferences in the 60s. He did one at the old Commodore Hotel.
I remember that.
That was with that fellow who was down in Florida. And John Keel was one, I met him several times. He wrote for Saint Magazine. He used to go to the Wicca stores in the Lower East Side in the East Village. I met him at this event, which I thought was the Heaven's Gate people, but Kim corrected me. It was another UFO cult group at a church, and I met him there. He was an interesting kind of guy, but hard to pin down, I thought. Of course, he wasn't interested in me. In those days, I was a fan. I didn't really get to know Tim until I reconnected with him on Facebook, of all places.
Uh-huh.
And that was in 2009. And 2009 was when I really got friendly with Tim.
Wow, I'm glad that you had all that time with him, you shared all this life with them, and you have all these wonderful memories and stories that you're now sharing with everybody. That is awesome.
Yeah, I probably have forgotten a few. I'm going to have to recall. I have a whole list. I printed out a chat I had with him on Facebook since 2009. So I have to go through all that and see all the things we talked about. Because as I mentioned earlier, if I had a question, he was the go-to guy.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't believe everything. Some people thought, he believed all this. He didn't believe all these stories. He published them. They were interesting. He believed some because he had his own experiences.
Yeah.
But some of them, he would never badmouth anybody. He was just careful how he talked about them so that I knew that he had doubts. But never badmouthed anybody. And his stories, even though they look like silly things because of the colors and the way it's written, he actually touched on a lot of interesting facts that you could use to find out other things. And that was the beauty of Tim. He was everywhere. He knew, smart guy. He knew what he was talking about.
That was part of the appeal to me, you know, that the books contained a lot of information, but they had lurid titles and sometimes lurid colorful covers. So that was part of the thing. I wanted to be part of that. And I was really proud when I think Sean Castile wrote an internet article where he mentioned that I'm part of Tim's team of writers. That made me like really.
That's great.
That was like a childhood dream come true.
Yeah, he talked to me about, this is really a long time ago, and it's vague in my memory, but I remember passing by, maybe with my parents or something, 45th Street, there was something called Flying Saucer News. It was a little shop Oh, did you go there?
Yes.
Yeah, Tim knew all about it, but I never went in. I never went in, and I'm sorry I didn't. It might have been very interesting. That's in the days when they had the fanzines, right?
Yes, yes, yes. I used to have tons of those. I don't know. They got lost in my many travels, but I remember getting fanzines and becoming part of like the culture. And before the Disclosure Network and the other networks that people have now, way before the internet, there were the fanzines and became part of the community. And people used to donate articles, and it was all very exciting.
Right, right. Well, nowadays everything seems so serious. It wasn't like that back then.
No.
It was a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun.
It sounds like such a wonderful time. What a wonderful atmosphere. And you were mentioning the book covers. I recently, in preparing for this podcast, reviewed the covers on those books, and they were wonderful, imaginative, well done, very good art. And you just want to open the book and go through each one of them, because it really does pique your interest. So yeah, it was a great way to introduce people to you want to consider the other side of things. You ought to open up your mind, open up that door. That's what he was doing. And boy, did he do it well.
Yeah, yeah. At the time when there was nothing else, here you had the door, as he said. And by the way, that's why I mentioned Carol Ann Rodriguez, because she designed many of those book covers. So,
oh, is that right? Okay. Did you say that she's still with us? Is she
here? When I reconnected with Tim, that was one of the people I asked about. Is Carol still with you? He said, yeah, well, she still works with us. In fact, the book that I mentioned, David Bowie, UFOs, Witchcraft, Cocaine, and Paranoia, that was one of her covers.
I did interact with her. I never met her, but I did interact with her because I remember when they were reissuing the Space God Speak, which is another connection. Mm-hmm. Story for another day, Carol contacted me by email because she wanted to know, when I experienced these things, what colors did I perceive things in? So I described in detail how the colors appeared to me, and she colored the picture to reflect what my experience was. So yes, I did interact with her by email.
Yeah, I met her a couple of times. I doubt she remembers me, but I never forgot her. Her and Antonio Huneas. I asked about
Carol,
him. He no longer is in the city. Yes?
No, just curious now. What other notes do you have that you'd like to present now? Because it's already 9:37. So, boy, this hour goes so quick. Oh, my God. I told you it was going to be a quick 1 hour. It certainly is. But, Carol, any more notes that you'd like to put forth?
Well, I didn't have that much time to get this ready. So there's a lot of other things I could add, but that's pretty much what I gathered together. What I'm going to do next is go through that book by Jacques Vallée on his experiences in South America. That should be quite interesting.
Yes, that would be so interesting. You know what we could do, Carol, is we could, in a few months, do a part two, where by that time you will have gone through that book and you'll have gotten more of your notes, and that we could do a part two. And I would love to do that. So are you up for that?
Sure.
I'm so happy
to be able to share my experiences, because there weren't too many people. When I had my sighting, the first thing I remember that I walked out, it was August. I hate to say the year, it makes me so old, but it was August. It was Brooklyn. I'm not telling you the year. And it was in Brooklyn, and I went to the front, the stoop, because it was so hot and I had no air conditioning. There were two neighbors standing to the left, and then I was just standing there for a bit, and suddenly there was no sound. It just went, I couldn't hear anything, no cars, nothing. And actually I could hear, but it sounded far away. And all the lights went out on the street. I could see lights in the distance, but not on the street I was on. And suddenly I looked up and something dropped, as if it dropped. Somebody had dropped a book or something. And this ship, it just dropped. And it stood there for a minute and it pulsated. And it felt like I could feel almost, it felt like someone was contacting me. And then suddenly it did a 90-degree turn and left. And I said, what was that?
Now, there was no no sound, no wind, anything like that?
No, it was like blank, like a vacuum.
Okay. Okay, that makes sense.
And then the sound came back. Yeah, and I had asked the neighbors who weren't far, did you see that? They said no. And they said, you saw, look, it's a plane, an advertising plane. I said, no, that's not what I saw.
Well, you know, a lot of people, they try to, with the best thinking they have, is to relate it with something that they already know about. And so they'll relate something, and it's not what they're relating. It's simply what their mind is putting in as a possibility of what they saw, because they're trying to deal with something they've never experienced before. And that goes across the board with a lot of people,
And
you can look at the exact same phenomenon, and five different people can come up with five very different explanations of what they thought they were seeing.
Yes, yes. I had asked him, and then I described the experience to Tim, and he said, well, a lot of people, exactly what you said, and he said, a lot of people forget, too, because I forgot
about it
for years.
Also, sometimes that is deliberate, because sometimes, and I think I'm part of that experience, that you either can't absorb it, and you have to put it in a file in the back of your mind because you cannot really deal with the reality of what you are experiencing or seeing. And I think a lot of people go into that category. Another category is you have an actual contact and your memory is erased, sometimes for hours or days and sometimes for 10, 20, 30 years. And all of a sudden it pops back. And we've had people in Disclosure Network New York, including myself, who said that's exactly what happened. All of a sudden, flooded into my mind that I somehow either by choice or was willed, somebody else willed me not to understand or realize it, put it away. But sometimes it comes back. That's very interesting stuff.
Yeah.
Now, Carol, I got to ask you, some of your final thoughts for tonight, what would you like to leave with our listeners about this whole subject of UFOs and paranormal phenomenon? What would you like to say to them?
Well, the first thing that comes to mind is that people should keep an open mind about what they're seeing. If they have an experience, don't judge it as, oh, it's phony, I imagined it. And don't assume that it's a spacecraft or anything either. Just keep an eye, just be aware of what you saw. Write it down and think about it. But be open as to what it might be. And then go out and find other people with similar experiences, and you'll find that a lot of them have experienced the same thing you did. And some of them may even have more information.
That absolutely is true. And many of our meetings, Disclosure Network New York, for the last 20 years, some of the people and some of the new people coming in say, I can't tell you what it means to me to be able to speak openly about something that I have experienced or felt that I really couldn't tell my wife, my husband, my lover, my kids, my grandfather and grandma. I can't really talk about, I don't feel comfortable, but when I come to a meeting like this with other people who've had similar experiences, it's just such a joy for me to be open and to discuss this. And you said yourself that that's what happened to you. You were seeking other people to compare the notes.
Yes, yes. And just think about them, Kent, the pilot that I mentioned with seen the Nimitz encounter, he couldn't talk about it with anyone. I mean, that caused him mental anguish. Like, not as bad as Calvin
Absolutely.
Parker, but Calvin Parker's experience was different. But if he had had a network to go to, even if he couldn't talk about it to the world, he would have people to exchange ideas.
That's right. That's right. It's also very therapeutic. And you can sometimes, through other people, other things that you experience come clearer. And you say, that's right. I forgot that detail. You're absolutely right. That's what happened to me.
Yes.
That's what I saw with my own two eyes. And or that's what I heard, or so forth. So it's really, I just encourage people to, wherever you happen to be in our range here of this podcast, seek out other UFO groups that you'd might find in your area. Take a good look at that and join them, and see if also they help you to deal with an incredible subject. Probably the most important topic we've ever could experience is this whole idea of other civilizations and other planets and universes, and what is that all about? There's so many questions that it would take years to go through all the just questions we have when we're talking about another civilization from a different planet that either is backwards or many, many thousands of years ahead of us. I mean, think of that. It's an incredible subject, and that's why all three of us, and I'm sure a lot of our listeners, are in that same boat. You just want to open this topic up. It's so important, and never more so than in 2021. We're going to do a program about that very soon, about what is going on with the, shall we say, disclosure that's coming on little cat feet, but is definitely coming our way. This is a huge change for the government to not only not deny, but to confirm that there's things out there that they really, at least this is what they're saying, they don't know what it is. Now, you can argue.
That's right.
That
they won't say it's extraterrestrial, but they will say they don't know what it is, which is a big step.
Right.
And one more thing I wanted to add for people who are looking for others, be sure that the people you talk to are sincere, because there are phonies out there. That's just a point I want to make.
No, that's a very good thought, and you have to be careful with that, absolutely. But there are people who share our interest, and it's wonderful to find them and to compare notes and to do your research together. That's what we do at Disclosure Network. We probably send anywhere from 10 to 20 emails a day. That's how active our desk is of new information dealing with all the important topics that are impacting on all of us right now. That includes everything from disclosure, ET, abductions. That includes COVID-19. That includes a lot of other subjects that we discuss, and it's all very important. And we are self-educating ourselves, and it's a very exciting time. For sure. Now, I just want to say to our listeners that if you'd like to ask Carol or myself any question, or if you have a comment, we welcome that. We certainly do. I'm going to give you my email address one more time, and you can address it to either Carol or myself. If it's to Carol, I will get it to her. And here we go. The email address again is NICKNYNY1, and the one is the numeral one, not O-N-E, at gmail.com. Again, NICKNYNY1 at gmail.com, and we will be happy to correspond with you. Hercules, how much time do we have left now?
10 minutes.
About 10, okay, good. So, this subject has always been so important to me, always. It just from the time I can remember as a child, this subject is something that has always been number one, certainly, along with spiritual calling, along with exploring religious and spiritual teachings, which is, I don't see that as too far afield from researching UFO and ET connections at all. In fact, there's a lot of parallels, certainly, between the two subjects. So when I study something like the Urantia book, which is, I've been studying that for 35 years, well, there's chapters in there talking about people and the beings on other planets. And that's in this incredible spiritual book. So they're going from the life and teachings of Jesus with all the missing data, which is huge, all the way to the government of another planet and what it's like to be there. I mean, I was on the edge of my chair the first time I opened that book. So there's wonderful resources, and you know, the connections are really there if you look for them, and a lot of people are, and you're finding all this information. It's very exciting. It absolutely is. And you know, it seems like in 2021, don't you think, Carol, I want to ask you, don't you feel that a lot of things are really coming together now?
Well, the discussion is certainly more out in the open. You can talk about it without being labeled a fool or an idiot. And there's a lot more information available as well. And you have serious researchers like Richard Dolan and Daniel List. I like them best. That's why I mentioned them. Linda Moulton Howe is very interesting, too. You have really interesting people that have provided information and references for you. I mean, Linda Moulton Howe sometimes has things that sound way up, but you know, it's not that she is relaying what is brought to her, and she passes it on so that it's of value to people. There was so much of it. The people who think the government is trying to, the government is becoming aware that too many people are seeing things and they want answers. If you remember the Phoenix Lights, people kept writing to the governor, explain, we've seen this, but the government at that time didn't want to say anything. They didn't want to admit anything happened. So it's different now. It's much more open, and that's great.
Yeah, that is. I would caution, though, that for over 70 years, the government has totally denied all of this, totally denied
it. That's right.
And
that's right.
And the last year, perhaps, this is a huge turnaround. But I have to caution here that they have lied to us nonstop for over 70 years. So
yeah.
Even now, what they're putting out, I still would take with a real grain of salt here, because I feel as though what they're totally putting out now, I don't believe it. I don't believe that is the truth.
Well,
I think that is spin, and I think I would love to get behind this more, but they are saying, well, maybe there's something out there. Well, how about Eisenhower meeting ETs way, way back in his administration? What about Valiant Thor and all that? What about all the evidence that we've had a major, not only contact, but they've been here and they are here, and the government knows that. Another person has said that there is ETs in a particular government facility, and that he's seen them and talked to them, men, women, and children. And so when you start hearing that sort of thing and then going back to what the narrative is now, that, well, yeah, we don't know what it is. It might be a UFO. We don't know. I still think that's really spin. And so I'm cautioning, be very, very careful.
Nick, you're right. And let me just say to that the government was trying to take over the narrative. They want to take over the narrative to have people believe a certain way, but they can't, because there's just been too many things going on for years, too many cases that there was no Photoshop back in the 1950s, but there's people who saw
right,
things,
right.
And you can look at the original photos. They're real. The government can't play with that. That's why they're admitting now. Because you cannot deny things that people have been seeing, and people don't want to hear that anymore. They want to hear, maybe it's not the total truth, but at least you know there's something out there.
Exactly right. Exactly right. And just knowing what we just said, that's how you go forward. And stay tuned, because there's a huge amount that's coming our way real soon. So, Carol, I just want to say to you my heartfelt thanks for being on my podcast and sharing both your insights and your very personal remembrances of Tim. Tim is a hero to us all in ufology, and he will always be that. And God bless him. God bless him wherever he is now. I'm sure he's having amazing adventures himself right at this moment. I would bet money on that. So again, Carol, much love to you. This is Nick Curl for Disclosure Network New York, wishing you all an enlightened journey as you connect the dots to seek truth. Till next time, keep informed, stay safe, and be very, very kind to one another, never more than right now. Goodbye, good luck, and hope to see you very, very soon. Take good care, everybody. Much love to you all.
Bye. And thanks to you, Nick, and to Carol. Carol, I sent you a friend request on Facebook.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing all that. That was wonderful.
And it was very exciting to learn that you were part. You knew Tim too.
Yeah, that was wonderful.
Yes, I really am glad I had that opportunity. He hadn't been feeling well for a while, so I didn't invite him back on the show because I figured, you know, let him recover. And so I missed out on the opportunity to speak with him again. But wherever Tim is, I'm sure he knows how everybody feels about him. So I take comfort in that.
Absolutely. Okay. What a lifetime he had. What a lifetime he had. What he gave to so many people.
So thanks again, and thanks to everybody who tuned in, whether you called in, whether you listened to us live via internet, or whether you'll be listening to the show later on demand. Until next time, this is us wishing you joyous journeys and amazing adventures. And I will extend an invitation to an adventure in living mythology. Olympian starseeds are embodied reflections of Olympus's light that have chosen to drink the waters of forgetfulness and enter the dream of mortality to assist in the great awakening on Gaia. The Olympian Starseeds Initiative, which I'll call OSI for short, is tasked with locating and liberating incarnate Olympians ensnared by the dream and reminding them of their Olympian mission. The OSI, mindful that archetypal Olympian patterns have been programmed into the human psyche, believes in assisting all people on Gaia with actualizing their maximal potential. And the OSI, like all our initiatives, supports all of humanity's efforts to transcend this world and venture forth into the great beyond, be they metaphysical, mechanical, or even imaginal. And now we will close with Golden Bough by Virginia Ackley. Thanks again, Carol.
Of her cry.